This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Sean Tubbs. Residents of the Fry Springs area of Charlottesville are up in arms about Virginia Department of Transportation plans to temporarily close Jefferson Park Avenue Extended near Fontaine Avenue, beginning in 2008. The idea is to repair and widen the bridge that crosses the railway tracks there. City officials say the plans have been on the books for several years, but many residents argue they've been caught by surprise, and they're not quite sure why the plans call for the conversion of Todd Avenue from a thruway to a cul-de-sac. On October 26th, about 36 people attended a meeting of the Fry Springs Neighborhood Association to ask questions of Jim Tolbert, Charlottesville's Director of Neighborhood Development Services. The meeting was moderated by Mike Ferrugio, and this edited portion, brought to you by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, lasts for about 80 minutes.
My name is Mike Ferrugio. I am a past president, past treasurer, past at-large member of the association, and working with me very closely tonight and more or less facilitating will be Ellen Catalano. She's a past president, past vice president, past treasurer, at-large, et cetera, as well. What we're going to do is start now at 5:30. We're going to have a little introduction. We're going to let our mayor speak for a couple of minutes. Then we're going to go over a little bit further the agenda. We're going to go over some of the ground rules. At about 5:40, Jim Tolbert will be speaking from Neighborhood Development Services. He's the director of Neighborhood Development Services, working for the city. About 6 to 6:30, around that time, we're going to have a question and answer period where we're going to address very specific questions that anybody has, and well, the city will be directing them. And then from 6:30 to 7, we're going to have some comments and concerns and be eliciting some information from the audience. So at this time, if I may, I'm going to bring the mayor up.
Thank you. I'm not going to speak very long. I want to thank you for allowing me to get up here and speak. I'm pleased to be here. I'd like to thank the neighborhood for being such a strong neighborhood association. I think that's important. I'd like to thank the city staff for coming here tonight and hopefully answering your questions. And I've had several neighborhood meetings this week. It's kind of been an interesting week for that. One thing that's important to me in a neighborhood meeting, especially in a neighborhood in a situation where there may be some residents who are deeply unhappy about something, is that hopefully you'll recognize what I've come to recognize in the city staff, which is that they're good people, that they're human, that they're capable of making mistakes, but treat them with respect that I've learned to have for them, and try to make this be a meeting where the tone is positive, and the tone is something that we can come around with something good from. And having come to a meeting previously, I'm confident that that's going to be the kind of meeting we're going to have. And so, anyway, I'm going to get out of the way, but I am glad to be here. I'm certainly interested in the railroad issue in particular is one that I was not part of previously since it came before my tenure on council, so I'm interested in trying to catch up to speed, but I'm interested in the presentation, and I'm interested to make sure I understand all the concerns that you have. So, thank you.
One other thing is, there's going to be some, for lack of a better term, negotiables. There's input that the city is looking for that Jim will touch on that we're going to be looking to capture at the end. So just keep in mind that there are things that we definitely need specific input on as well. So just keep that in mind. Fantastic. We're only 1 minute behind. We're going to turn it over to Jim. He's going to share some info with
you. Probably enough time. Before I get started too much, a couple of my staff people in the audience, Dan Clark, who is our assistant city engineer, and they resident of the JPA Neighborhood Association, so he's real close by, and Ashley Cooper, who is your neighborhood planner. And in our organization, we have our department neighborhood planners that work with the neighborhoods on planning issues, and Ashley is the one that's assigned to this neighborhood, among others. And I see, since the mayor's come in, we've got Councilor Carabotti and Kevin Lynch in the back there, so we've got several of our council members here. I want to try to give you a history of this, but if you've lived in the community in the neighborhood since before 1999, you may know it better than me because I've only been here since 99. And so if I miss a date, you know, I apologize and get it straight. That's not the important thing, but I thought it would be good to put this sort of in context and talk about how we got to where we are now. The thing, with this meeting coming up, I went back and did some research because to get prepared, I had to find out some of the history since I was not here when all this started. 1980, it's amazing to me, but 1980, the city petitioned the railroad and VDOT to try to get the bridge fixed. But there were problems with the bridge. the structure of the bridge, and we needed to get something done about the bridge. So it's been 25 years since the city first petitioned the railroad and VDOT to deal with the bridge. I don't know what the sufficiency rating was in 1980 when we made contact. I hadn't seen that in the record. But we do bridge surveys on every bridge in town. VDOT does some. We have a contract with a structural engineering firm, and they do what they call a sufficiency rating on. So on a scale of 1 to 100, I don't know what that bridge rated in 1980. The most recent sufficiency rating we have is a 2, which you don't get much worse than a 2. It's not much further down the go. So I'm not sure how much more it's deteriorated in those years, but that was amazing when I saw that. In 1996, VDOT came and met with folks in the city with some initial concept of the bridge. In 1997, our records indicate that VDOT had done some preliminary engineering, and there were meetings held with residents in the Price Springs area, the businesses, people along the road, to discuss those initial concepts. And those concepts showed, among other things, the Todd closure, and talked about why Todd would have to be closed, and talked about the capacity of the bridge, the width of the bridge, and the need to accommodate traffic. And they specifically talked about the need to close Todd because of the steep grades that would be required to keep it, because of the retaining walls that would have to be built, the need to acquire additional property for Todd Avenue if they had to leave Todd Avenue open, and the proximity of the exit of Todd to the bridge itself. So those were all considerations as far back as we have record in 1997. In 2000, VDOT went to a design public hearing. The plans were along far enough at that point to take them to their design public hearing. That is in the VDOT process the key point. When they have the design public hearing, the plans are essentially finished, except for detailing and construction drawings, but they know the right of way they're going to need, they know those sorts of issues. Since that time, and sometimes it's hard to understand why it takes so long to move projects forward. There's the ordinary time it takes to get funding and all the other issues to move a project forward that this one had. But there were also a couple reasons for delays. One reason for the delay was that the city council was interested and potentially through our Metropolitan Planning Organization and city council, VDOT considered a bridge that was long enough to add not another track, but a way for a pedestrian bike access parallel to the tracks, or some type of bus service or other rail to get between the Fontaine Research Park and the university and ultimately the downtown area. So there was a great deal of discussion of that. City Council, the records has resolutions of council, resolutions of the Metropolitan Planning Organization making that request. So VDOT had some delay there. There was also two periods of delay where the railroad petitioned VDOT to raise the bridge and to add some extra width for additional trackage, for a third track. Those caused some additional delays in the process. Ultimately, VDOT did not raise the bridge. The bridge is 23 feet. In the current drawings, it was 23 feet in 2000. So there was, the VDOT did not give in to that. And the railroad, as most of you may know, lowered the track somewhat to respond to that. So the bridge didn't raise, the tracks were lowered a little bit. They did change the bridge design somewhat to accommodate the third lane track. And that did not change anything that you see from the surface. It changed the abutments. The abutments were redesigned differently to allow for the extra trackage to be put in. I noticed on the flyer there was an issue about a question about what land would have to be taken for the railroad to put in another track that is solely within the railroad right-of-way. We had that discussion with VDOT today. There would be no land acquisition to accommodate the railroad for additional trackage. And they don't have any plans, we understand, to put in the trackage at this point, but they didn't want the bridge to be an impediment to it if they decide to 20 years from now. So the railroad has, by law, the railroad has to make an effort to accommodate rail. So the VDOT has to make an effort to accommodate rail. After the design public hearing, the next real action we had, other than the council asking for additional area under the bridge, which council decided after we did a lot of research into what it would cost to put a road or a trail Council backed off and said, you know, if you can't do that, it's really not feasible for us to hold up the bridge given the condition of the bridge because of the slopes and cuts and fills that are in the railroad right away and what it would cost to try to put that connection in. Go ahead and start, move forward on the bridge design. The next thing we did was petition or send a letter to VDOT telling them we didn't want the traditional rural section of bridge they did. We wanted a more decorative bridge with streetlights and railing, and we wanted something, if not exact, but very similar to the Drury Brown Bridge on West Main Street. So that was a request that's made. We'll show you some stuff tonight that they have agreed to do that and design a bridge that's very similar in its appearance to what you see on West Main Street. A few facts about the current design. The bridge is designed at 78 feet wide. Again, that is still consistent with where it's been since 2000. 78 feet sounds like it's awfully wide, and that was a question that I had. I'm not sure. We don't have a good setup here with the lights and the ability to see the drawing, but one of the reasons for the width of this bridge is its proximity. So we have a spotlight that you can find a way to shine it. One of the reasons for the width of the bridge is its proximity to the JPA Fontaine-Maury intersection. The bridge is going to be designed for 2 5-foot sidewalks, or is designed for 2 5-foot sidewalks, for 2 5-foot bike lanes. As you're coming, turning, going, this is the intersection, the Fontaine-Maury intersection. As you come down Fontaine and make a right onto the bridge, there will be one lane coming into the neighborhood, going this direction. As you come across the bridge, coming into town, this is where Todd Avenue comes in. You'll lose the parking, and you'll start to split. And the width of the bridge here accommodates a left turn onto Fontaine, and the right turn onto JPA, and then the through lane onto Mara. So it's essentially on the bridge a two lane bridge, and when it comes across the bridge, it's two lane. But on the bridge itself, there is the width to get the turn lanes in. And there is a 4-foot concrete median that tapers down to 4 feet and wider from the edge of the bridge on across the bridge. And then once you get to the end of the bridge, it becomes a 18-foot wide landscape median going on down out of town. So you've got concrete and then it's landscape. We have asked and reiterated the request that this not just be any old concrete that would be in a rural area, but that it be a concrete that's more of a stamped concrete like you see in the urban parts of Charlottesville. And we don't have any reason to believe that VDOT will not accommodate that. So they're just not to that point in the design. Okay. As I mentioned, Todd will close. Dan, stay over there. Todd will close. There were several reasons for that. The steepness of the slope to get in a road. Once you build a bridge and to get a road in that meets city standards, you would have to go back down Todd and take at least one more house. The houses, two of the houses at a minimum, maybe more, because of the need to put either that or very large retaining walls. So that's one reason that VDOT made the decision. But the others are that it is very close to where JPA, where it comes into JPA at the bridge. There's not good sight distance. It's not a good location to come in. That's the primary reason. The impact on the property is getting the retaining walls. However, we do have some concerns. Dan, if you'll put this up. One of the issues that was raised by this community from the beginning when we first started talking about the connection down from JPA to Todd was what that wall would look like. If you take just the basic VDOT plans, it would be just a monolith of concrete there, white concrete. And while we don't have a final design, we have been working with VDOT in the last few weeks to say we want something like this. There's no final design yet, but we think it's something similar to this. It's brick that maybe has ivy on it that would be more appropriate, that extends the decorative rails down so that they have good handrails. This would be an ADA connection to come down from JPA to tie. But again, we feel like it needs to be something other than just bare concrete there. VDOT is very amenable to doing that. And this drawing shows that, you know, just one concept that we presented them that they would are agreeable to pursuing. So that's a design issue that's not settled at this time, but we don't think that there's any reason, and it's been consistent with the city to move forward. Dan, if you'll put the other one down, this is the other elevation. This is a perspective that we had our on-call engineers, who are not the VDOT engineers, designing, but they took the VDOT plan and attempted to show with the lights and the rail that we talked about what the bridge would look like. And this is a perspective looking from the neighborhood towards town. But you can see that the bridge has a landscape median as you come up to it. And then the bridge itself with the sidewalks, the bike lanes, parking going right up to the bridge, and then tapering with the bike lanes. And then the rail, the decorative rail, and the decorative lighting on it. And those lightings meet the standards for street lighting also. So VDOT has agreed that we don't need the cobra heads overhead and those, that these are sufficient to meet the lighting standards to light the street and the sidewalk. There have been some questions asked about fire access and across the bridge. During construction, I'm sort of moving back and forth now as we go on between during construction and what the bridge will be like. The fire department is not using that bridge today. They will not send a fire truck across the bridge. It has a rating of 10 tons, and they quit about a year ago sending vehicles across there. They've already made contingency plans that would be the same plans that will be in place during construction. So the fact that it'll be closed, it's planned to be closed for construction, will have no impact on their response time as they are today. It's not a good situation right now because it's not safe for them to drive across. So they've made contingency plans. There were questions about the detour. The detour as it's planned now, again, all the details have not been worked out on that, is that Shamrock would be the principal sign detour when the bridge is under construction. And we know that people will use scribbling to get around it. That's just human nature. We're not going to sign it to do that. We're not going to do anything to encourage them, but the plan is to encourage them to Shamrock. One thing that we have said, and if we work out that plan, we've got time, 2 years probably, to work that plan out, is that we will meet with the neighborhood and come up with possible traffic calming measures that are temporary, like we did when we built the Park Locust Bridges. When those were closed, we had to come up with measures in the North Downtown neighborhood and Locust Grove neighborhood to try to deal with it on a temporary basis for traffic calming, because you are going to get an increase of traffic in certain areas when you have the bridge closed. We know and understand that. The bridge, while it's under construction, will be closed. There will be continuous bike and pedestrian access across the bridge, though. So it will not be closed ever to bike and pedestrians. It will be left open for bike and pedestrian. One of the reasons to close it, two of the reasons, cost. To leave it open is a tremendous additional cost. And as a lay in the project of about 6 months, it will go from a year's construction time at minimum to 18 months minimum to leave the bridge open with the adjustments that would have to be met. So it's much faster to go ahead and tear it down, get it out of there, leave the pedestrian and bike piece up, and move on with it. A couple of the unresolved issues we've got, as I said, are the issue is the stamped concrete median. We don't have that resolution yet. We don't have a final plan for what that retaining wall might look like, but it's an issue that's on the table, and there is a great deal of agreement about with VDOT about doing something. They understand that the city has been consistent in that issue. Another question that's been raised is traffic, and what was used to decide the traffic and the width of the bridge and the construction. And again, we went back and pulled land use plans and information. The way that VDOT does their transportation planning is they use what's called a gravity model to determine traffic movements. And those are based on future land use plans. They look at current land use and future land use. And they don't just look right around the area. They look at basically the entire urban area when they do the model. The thing that gives me some reassurance is that they used land use that was there at the time in the mid-90s, and that those land use plans have not changed. So the land use intensity that they anticipated might happen is no different from what could happen under current land use conditions, both city and county. So it's the only change to land use is one that's been applied for right now that's still under review in the county to the Granger property that might have some impact, but they haven't even analyzed that. But up until that was submitted just recently, there's been no changes of any substance in the land use plans in the city or the county that would have any impact on the numbers of cars on the bridge. And so, you know, the bridge is designed to accommodate the anticipated traffic. And if anything, VDOT would tell you that given the anticipated traffic, they might want to make it wider to accommodate a future, you know, extra lanage. And the city has consistently said, we're not interested in doing that. We want the minimum to make it work now efficiently. Let's see, just a real quick to see any other issues there. One of the questions I saw that was raised several times was, why the parking at the end of Todd Avenue as part of this, with the dead end of the Todd? That was part of the right-of-way negotiations between VDOT and the property owner there, because that property owner was concerned that they were losing parking on JPA that they had used, and they requested VDOT in not to do a cul-de-sac turnaround and take all their access, all their yard, but to come up with a T-turnaround and provide some parking. So that's why VDOT designed that the way they did, is to try to minimize the taking of the property, reduce the cost, and come up with a way to provide some parking there that had been taken up on JPA that had been used. So that was a negotiation that that VDOT had with the property owner. And then the final question, I think, in trying to address the ones I know about, will the residents be informed during all the work? What we would want to do working with the contractor when we get ready, when VDOT gets ready to do this work, because again, the model that we use with the Park and Locust Bridge closures, we put up the big flashing signs several weeks ahead of time. We sent flyers out to everybody in the neighborhood. We ran information in the paper so that we kept people informed continuously with what was going on there. We understand it's a tremendous disruption, and we want to use our public information office, our communications office, to help with that, and we're going to put a lot of pressure on the contractor to make sure they have a daily or weekly schedule and they let people know exactly what they'll be doing, because it is a major, major undertaking, and it's going to, we need to know it from an emergency situation as well as you need to know it from your daily lives and dealing with daily life. So we will make sure we do that, and I think that covered most all of my stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Right, that's it.
All right, what we're going to do now is take questions for until we run out or until 6:30, whichever comes first. We'd like, again, to remember the ground rules that we have. We don't want to end up going on. We want to get to a question so we get an answer so we get to every question we have in the room. All right? So anybody has any questions?
You talked a little bit about the lighting on the bridge, and I'm wondering about how it's going to change and if it's going to conform to the dark skies ordinance.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It will. We've given that ordinance to VDOT and told them they have to meet it, and at the same time they have to meet the minimum lighting standards for down lighting on the bridge that they come up with. So
okay. That has
been provided.
Very good.
And can I just say one thing, Mike?
Sure.
Actually, if you don't see me writing, I'm not ignoring you. Actually, it's taking detailed notes so that we get back, we know everything that you've asked or said. So she is helping with that.
Okay. I actually had several questions.
Sure.
Can I just ask them in order, or should I?
Whatever, you can ask one, then ask the next, then ask the next. That will be fine.
Okay. Now, the way that you're talking about this, it sounds like the city has considered this a done deal. And I think you'll find that among the residents of the neighborhood, we don't consider it that way. We've actually done some research and found that I think it was back in 1997, there was a memorandum that went around, it was actually issued by VDOT.
That's correct.
That was stated that the Keeping Todd Avenue open was one of their highest priorities designing this. A month later, there was another memorandum issued by the city or by VDOT?
Also by VDOT.
All of a sudden stating that, you know, boom, that Todd Avenue was going to be closed. It seems like an odd, sort of an odd switch. In keeping with that, there don't seem to be, in the public record, any alternatives explored, aside from one alternative that, that involved taking the property at the corner of Todd and JPA.
Mike, can you form into a question?
We need the question.
Sorry, I'm getting there. There didn't seem to be any alternative generated besides that one. Where is the process involved in coming to the conclusion that Todd was going to be, it was going to be closed?
I can't answer that. I was, you know, I wasn't here in that period of time. I'm not familiar with the memo that you mentioned, the correspondence with, that said it was unexplored.
VDOT, it's not a public record.
I don't doubt that. I've just not seen it. VDOT does, you know, look at alternatives, again, when they're doing projects. Part of their federally mandated requirements they do. I don't know what they brought to the public hearing. I'd be glad to look into that, but I am not aware of that. But I know, I do know that they came to the public hearing in 2000 with a proposed design. I'm not sure. It doesn't appear that they brought any alternatives at that time. But at some point there, they picked this alternative. So, but I don't know.
What was the city's position at that time? Or what is the city's position now on closing or keeping open roads?
I don't know that the city actually took a position. We were allowing VDOT to design the road, working with VDOT, our engineering staff was. I think that we have professionally some concerns about leaving Todd open. Personally, it doesn't matter to me, but I think that having a road coming out, you would never build new, a road coming out the end of a bridge like that. That's just not good design. It's not safe. It's not standard practice. And we have a minimum 8% grade on roads that's required. With the new bridge, the changes in elevation, and getting the access to it, you would have to go back. I think we were looking at today about 125-150 feet back into the project, further back on Todd to get that slope.
Actually, But the thing is, he's been through this, and it's getting irritating because. Okay. I have actually looked at it, and at 8%, you can go back to the next property and still maintain the grade and keep that open.
Okay. That is a very valid point, and we're going to write that point down. When we get back to the comment section at the end, when we have a little more time, maybe we can go. But if I understand correctly, the answer is, from the city's point of view, that they'd have to go back 125 to 150 feet, which would incorporate retaining walls and would make it more difficult.
And let me just go ahead and answer the first part of this statement that was almost a question, but not quite. I'm presenting it as our city council has passed a resolution approving the design and moving the project forward. From a staff standpoint, we're working with VDOT to implement the project that they have designed. And so that's, again, the council can always reopen that, I guess. But right now, there is an adopted council resolution that moves the project forward. So that's where you asked the status.
One
more question. How can council reopen this?
I think if they had a vote that said they wanted to approach VDOT and consider it, I'm not sure where VDOT would be with it, but I guess from right now, there is an approved resolution. That's what VDOT is working on.
But do you think that the council could reopen this?
I'm not sure, but that's the only person that we can. That's the only group.
Maybe we can ask somebody at the end of the meeting. David?
Help me understand, Jim, why there is a need for the additional lane on the bridge. When you're not talking about widening JPA away from town.
Right.
And you already have the same number of lanes toward the intersection with Maury and Fontaine. What's the point from a traffic flow standpoint of adding a lane on the bridge? I don't understand that.
It's just trying to get more stacking width, realizing there's going to be an increase in traffic to keep the stacking so that you can get, as I understand it, they're trying to get as much as they can. It's not still not
static better said. Cars backing up
that are trying to turn left and giving more room for that to happen. And again, which still does not meet their design standard if it was a brand new situation in a greenfield somewhere. So.
Okay. Andrew, I know you had a question in the back.
Yes, it's still someone from the property.
No, ma'am. They were not able to come tonight.
Who else? In the middle of
the two follow-ups, please, with regards to closing the Todd Avenue and memos that you've apparently have not seen from VDOT are dated from 1997. The first is from March 31st, 1997, from VDOT saying, we can do this. Let's
Andrew,
this house open.
Andrew,
question.
Please ask the question.
The question again remains, how is it that to build a bridge you must close a street? I see no process by which a street has been closed.
Actually, your question is, what was the process?
What was the process, and also, again, from my point of view, what do we have to do to reopen this project so that it can currently reflect the needs and the necessities, really, of the Five Springs neighborhood?
Okay, the second question he answered, that's got to go through City Council, because he's just acting on them. So the first part was, what was the process? The
process was that apparently there were meetings with individual property owners and the Five Springs neighborhood to discuss the closure and the other road conditions in that at that time. And the public hearing record reflects that that's what was advertised when the public hearing was held in January of 2000, that the road was going to be closed, and there are comments in the record, and as I believe that I've seen, not negative, but in support of that. And I don't believe there's a negative, but there are supporting comments to that at that time.
Okay. Yes,
ma'am. Well, I think one of the issues is, how do we get City Council to reopen it, not because we're trying to stop the bridge. And I have, just in relation to this, one thing I thought of is
questions?
Yes. I was trying to ask you a question. I have a memo that says that those property negotiations, this is a memo from Angela Tucker, sent in 2003, saying that because it has been so long since those negotiations, which affect the people on Todd, because they put parking, we'd like those reopened. It says it may require another public hearing.
Okay,
is that true? And if so, how do we have a public hearing?
One more time, we're going to answer this question. And if you have this concern, save it for the end. We'll bring the concern up again. The question again is, how do you reopen this, and how do you have it looked at again?
Are those property negotiations in place anymore? Because according to this memo, they may be out of date.
Okay.
And the answer to that is that VDOT does not intend to have another public hearing on the project. They do not believe that the plans have changed substantially since the public hearing they had in January 2000. So they have been proceeding along. At that time, they responded to the primary request that came in about Todd was, eliminate the cul-de-sac, make a T-turnaround, and provide some parking. So they adjusted the plan, but it did not alter the closure of Todd or the fact that there was a ramp coming down the ramp. So in their opinion, there is no need to have a public hearing.
Could I ask a follow-up? So those parking places, if it's involved city land, could that be redesigned so the parking places, so that was a more attractive design? Creative people came up with
the better. Again, we've been back to them just with the, and talked about the whole issue, primarily the wall in the last 2 weeks. And I think that piece of it could be open to something to make it look more attractive there in function. And as long as it's still met code, it can, I think so.
Okay. All the way in the back, there was a question.
Yeah.
There's actually two, I think. Did you have a question?
One of my concerns is the fact that the traffic is going to be pushed down into Shamrock, which is a very narrow, very dangerous street as it is. Is there any plans to, A, widen it before this happens, or B, traffic light, trying to get across JP and get back to the bypass?
I can pretty much assure you there's no plan to widen it at this time, but as I said, we haven't really gotten into a detailed analysis looking at what the issues are with moving it there. We are very open to traffic calming, a traffic light on a temporary basis. Again, I don't know if you're familiar, when we did park Locust Bridges last year, one of the things that grew out of that was a temporary traffic signal at North Avenue because of that very reason. And so we want to take a look at those things and build them in by the time we get there. We just haven't done that yet, but a lot of detailed discussion of traffic rerouting and the issues associated with it will happen before the contract for that.
An awful lot of cars being routed to that very small street. And in the wintertime, God forbid, somebody's going to have an accident and the world's going to have to stop on that side of the road. There's not even a traffic stop to go across the railroad tracks there.
We don't disagree with you. We just said not a lot of alternatives, and that's
That's, you know.
Well, that's what I'm asking, if someone can look into the fact of making it simpler. Because in the long run, again, 10, 20 years down the road, it's going to need to be wider.
Okay. I think he's got the concern and he's got the question. Ma'am, sitting down, did you have a question?
Has any thought been given to the traffic problems at the other end of Todd? Because if there's any ice or snow, it's very difficult to go down that little dip and curve up to the right to get up the hill onto Hill Street.
Honestly, we haven't had any discussions that I've been involved with about that. I don't know what I can tell you. I'll ask the folks who have been here if there were any considerations for that, but I don't know. And I can tell you that I haven't been involved in any.
Very good question.
How would we know then, as the neighborhood, where to go next to open up those specific concerns?
I think
what, we do?
What I'd like to do is anything like that that need follow-up that we'll try to get those answers, and actually we'll bring them back to the neighborhood, we'll get them out. We can get them out in your newsletter and every other contact we've got.
So that question that I heard, which was very important, ma'am, thank you, was what concerns were given to the intersection of Todd and Hill, where people would have to exit and, I guess, get back up to JPA.
Right.
So that's a concern that we've logged as well as a question. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, you have not spoken yet. Go ahead.
Yes, actually, I had a couple of questions. One, pretty simple. What are we looking at for a time frame for when VDOT wants to start this work? Have they given any idea when we want to get the project beginning, or no?
I believe this one's 2008.
2008? Yeah. And then the next question is, regardless of whether Todd is closed or not, with the redesigning of this area, and especially with the closing of Todd, has any thought been given to traffic calming measures on the Robertson corridor? I live on Robertson right now. I know we have big problems with traffic calming in that area.
Without opening up another can of worms, if you recall, when there was a rezoning that occurred on a property off of Cherry, one of the commitments was we would do that. And we don't have a traffic engineer on staff right now. We have a consultant engineer that's working with us about 3 days a week. He's been doing some preliminary work, but as soon as we have a traffic engineer, Ashley's been doing some work on that, and we've got a process working with the neighborhood. And so I think you're actually doing some preliminary stuff right now.
Right. We want to try to get on the next neighborhood agenda with some alternatives to talk about.
Absolutely. So we are taking a look at that.
Wonderful.
The commitment is to try to have that in place before the Cherry Hill development is built.
Yes, you have not asked a question.
Yes, sir. Robertson, why on the original plans, it's not from Robertson? Now it's more of a strip, but why is it that much longer?
I'm sorry, why is it?
The original plans of 2003, it stopped at Robertson. Now it's extended with the strip length, the length of the project.
It's right there. It looks like it's
on the Robertson on that one. I'm listening to myself. I was just reading something today on that, and I think there was a request to extend sidewalk as part of the hearing process to do that. I saw that
when it goes to Strickland. That's what it's supposed to do. Not wrong, but right. Original.
You talking about the median, sir? Or
no, the whole project. Every night.
Okay. Let me look for just a minute, because as I was doing some research, I saw.
Why are they elevating that property that much down? All they're going to do is create that speed.
I can't answer that one, but the design issue. But I think there was some request about extending the tiny sidewalk and improving it all the way down. But let us just, before, so I don't like to sit and read these. Let us get that answer back.
Probably how long? I
understand. Let us get, she's got that note. We'll get back to you.
That question was, and the concern was, that they're writing down was the project seems to have been extended another dozen, two dozen feet down the Sherland. We don't know why. And what that's going to either be a pro or a con to the neighborhood.
And that's the other thing is the speed. I mean, if traffic's going by fast enough now, you're only going to increase the speed going across that bridge. Which
you think you're asking if the speed will increase because of the grade continuum?
No, don't want to. I mean, why are they elevating everything back to create a speed problem?
All right. Who else hasn't answered the question yet? Chair in the back.
I want to pick up on his question. You and I have spoken about this. We're all talking about traffic concerns in our neighborhood. what's this bridge going to do to our neighborhood when it's open? I mean, this is, it's already crazy on JPA, and this affects all of us, right? They're coming up Highland, they're coming up Cleveland, they're coming up Robertson, they're coming up Old Lynchburg Road. They hit the stop sign right out here, and they're doing 45 miles an hour by the time they're at my house. I can't get in my own driveway. I can't back out. And now you're going to make it easier. They don't even have to slow down at the bridge.
And have tractor trailers with me.
I like the design of the bridge, but what are you going to do long-term to maybe reroute traffic? I don't understand why the rush hour traffic comes through a residential neighborhood.
Okay, let me rephrase that question if I can. You listen to me? One point I want to make is tractor trailers will not come over the bridge. I can just tell you from my job, the neighborhood is supposedly protected, and trucks are not allowed to use that as a through route. I know they do, but it's nothing like what they could do. Because I've given them tickets myself for cutting through there, so I know that. The question is, how is this going to impact JPA with more cars wanting to use JPA, I guess because the road is now better and nicer, and what is the city doing to look at that to try to reduce traffic?
And I'm even beyond JPA. I'm at the ass end of the traffic here. They all come through your neighborhoods, hit that stop sign, and it's a drag race up and down that street. I've had people drive over my sidewalk to get around me as I'm pulling into my driveway.
Okay. You got that question?
I got the question. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you right now. You know, Monday night, the mayor and I were in the Meadows at a meeting because it's a very similar situation. They're looking at Albemarle Place with 40,000 cars a day turned loose through that neighborhood. It points out, I mean, it's one of those things, we've got to figure out a way citywide to address a lot of the cut-through traffic. And it's, you know, because of a lot of the lack of planning that's gone on in the county for connection of roads, all roads funnel through Charlottesville. If you go anywhere outside the city limits, you go anywhere else, it funnels through here, and it's really impacting our quality of life and our residences. So there's a lot of work going on to try to look at that right now, but we've got some history in catching up. We're getting ready to attack the comprehensive plan, take a look at that again, and council and the planning commission have already said that they want to focus on taking a look at how land use affects transportation, but really looking at transportation issues, which 5 years ago we didn't do much of, and so we really want to take a look at transportation as we start that process in the next few months.
Mike, can I make a comment?
Yes, absolutely.
A question.
You outranked me big time.
What's common with tonight's meeting and the meeting in the Meadows is the traffic we're talking about is not that many of them are city residents. You know, it's county residents, right? You know, county allowing all this road, that Old Lynchburg Road,
you can plot it by shifts, UVA, and the hospital.
So, you know, it's us in the city having to deal with this sprawl in the urban ring. And, you know, I think we're all open to suggestions on good ways of dealing with that don't hurt our people at the same time. But I do recall, you know, just not having been any part of the process at that time, but when the bridge was replaced on Ridge Street, it was sort of a battle between the city and VDOT over the VDOT wanting the best bridge possible that could be expanded down the road and allow cars to flow through and as much as possible, and the city wanting not to allow that to happen. Now, as I recall from that time, Mr. Lake would be in a better position to maybe comment on this. The city's tools are kind of limited in terms of dealing with people. I mean, you got holds a lot of cards when it comes to, you know, you guys want us to pay to replace a bridge? This is what you get. I mean, it's not exactly that. But I think I'm extremely sympathetic to making sure we have a design that works for residents first, for city residents first, and that does not somehow encourage people to want to live somewhere else that isn't going to be property so easily where they can get football games. And so I certainly, you know, if there's any influence we can have, to say, for example, to look at look at how long the bridge has now become, and then, you know, are there any reasons why it has to extend that far, and could we influence VDOT? I'd be open-minded in having, Jim Pushka at the same time giving giant design suggestions here. Only other comment I'll make, and I'm going to be quiet. I'm sorry. I shouldn't start it. But it is, I really want that. For me, it's a matter of balancing two competing important interests. And one interest, of course, is closing the road in the neighborhood, what that's going to do to the adjacent neighborhood and the traffic there. But at the same time, we have a bridge which is unsafe, a bridge which is long overdue to replace, or a bridge where fire trucks no longer go. And so that's the second part. The third thing that I've heard tonight, I'd like to find out, well, exactly how much more would it cost for, and would we not pay for it, for us to do it a half at a time, so that perhaps we can make sure we don't just have an utter disaster nightmare. And I don't know if that's feasible. I don't know if VDOT can say, sure, you guys want to pay an extra $2 million if you can. I don't know where we'd get that, but if we get VDOT to go along with this plan. Anyway.
Okay. In the back, you haven't asked a question yet.
I guess a comment, a question just following up. There is one tool that we do have as a city to deal with this traffic problem, and that's the maintenance of an existing effective city grid, and also the construction of more gridded urban connections in the city, which was never part of this initial layout. So my question is, how does the city planners and everyone else reconcile the current intention of city planning to of connectivity, of connecting streets, of building new roads to link and make secondary lanes along 20, not secondary lanes, but a secondary street parallel to 29, with closing a very effective and functioning grid that exists in the city today? And so, to me, street closure is in complete opposition to the intentions of circulation and connectivity in the city, and how do you reconcile that conceptually as an urban design strategy?
Specifically, as it applies to this neighborhood,
I imagine. Well, just to close any street, which is part of a functioning grid, which is we all know at this point, I'm a professor of urban design and architecture at UVA. This is the one thing we would never do and teach our students to do is close a street, which is functioning and part of an effective grid. And so, as a professional, how do you reconcile that?
Well, I think, just as I said earlier, you know, there's a grid I would support all the time. There are some places, and I have a real concern about the geometry of this intersection with Todd at JPA. That's the reason, not only the geometry, but the slope of the street, and the whole design issues. It's from an urban design standpoint, yes, I'd like to see it stay open. How they ever had a bridge right there at the street, again, 50 years ago, when cars didn't, you know, what, nearly the traffic, cars didn't drive as fast as they do now, it wasn't a big deal. But that is a design issue that's a concern. That, in my opinion, you ask my opinion, I think it outweighs the urban, you know, the practicality outweighs the urban design issue there.
I'd like to find out how we can get a count of the number of accidents at that intersection, because just as one comments on the danger of circular stairs in a building, there are far less accidents on a circular stair than an ADA code design stair. And I would actually argue I use this intersection every day on my bicycle and with my son in his wagon. The people are very careful at that intersection and don't just pull out as they do at Robertson, where I've been hit almost numerous times. And so I would argue that there have been less accidents at Todd, and I'd like to have the city actually track that if possible so that we have some facts here.
Okay, so the second question is, what kind of accident history do we have at that intersection
compared to to perhaps Robertson and Stripling?
Okay. Peter.
You talked about the land zoning, I guess, taking into account for the traffic. But does that include the PUDs? Because that's sort of going against sort of the land zoning. We've got the big PUD at the bottom of Highland, which I think increases the density. We've got a potential PUD down at the end of Hill Street. So it seems like that's actually raising the number of residents that could be there that would have not potentially been taken into account when they were doing the original studies.
There are some planned PUDs. There's enough play in the land use that the land use plan, if you look at the plan, not the zoning. The land use plan was done when most of Price Springs was R2 zone. Now it's most of it's R1S, which reduced significantly the overall potential land use that's shown that can be built that's shown in the plan. While those PUDs have allowed a little bit of increase in density, the numbers are not, been taken in context, the numbers are insignificant when you look at the overall development potential there. So they didn't necessarily anticipate the PUDs, but the land use that was in place in the mid-90s when this was originally modeled exceeds the buildable density that is what is there now. So the two easily offset.
Okay. All right, Glenn, you're going to...
Yeah, one last question. Does VDOT take into consideration the economic cost to the city and local businesses when they do this sort of thing? And what I'm referring to specifically, Jim, I noticed there are sidewalks built around the JPA Fast Mart, which will close their gas pumps, eliminate probably five to six parking spots, and prevent traffic from turning left into there. Will this put that man out of business? Will that affect our tax revenues? Do they look at this?
I know they take some looks exactly how detailed they look at it, I'm not sure, but I know there were discussions with those property owners early on in the process about the design. So they had, you know, they had detailed conversations, as apparently from the record. It doesn't say what those conversations were, but they were meeting with those property owners.
Okay, is there anybody in the room that would like to ask a question that has not asked one yet? No. Okay. Now, I want questions because we only have minutes left and we've got three more people that want to ask questions. So just one question, please.
Where is the design of this bridge? Does it exist?
I'm sorry?
Where is the design for this bridge? Does it exist?
We have sets of the... What percent are they in?
We have a preliminary design date in 2002 of the bridge. We met with Greg Christiniak of VDOT today. He did not provide us with any updated... design.
So would I be correct in assuming there is no design for the bridge at this time?
No, ma'am. There are the 2002 design plans.
Okay. Anne?
I'd like to...
Question.
It is a question.
Okay.
But I have to say a fact. I have a memo where Angela Tucker wrote to you with what I consider a very creative idea, which was in terms of the fire station problem, that... One possibility would be to propose to development that they trade some land for a satellite station. Has anyone pursued this idea?
We have had...
In our part of Price Spring.
The fire department is actively looking for property where they can put a fire station on this side of the town. One of the things that they're... One of the reasons they haven't jumped at anything is that some of you may know that they are in negotiations or discussions with the county about some joint fire service. If that happens, then the stations need to be, the locations may need to be adjusted somewhat. So they haven't jumped at anything yet. We've even had discussions with the fire department about a temporary station over here to deal with, you know, some of the issues. But yes, ma'am, we haven't had any detailed discussions with a developer, but when we've had a couple of these development plans come in, we've talked with the fire department to find out from their modeling of their response times if the site that's being developed is one that they would be interested in locating a station. They're looking for certain characteristics, and so to date they haven't had a development that they said, yes, that's one that we would like to try to talk to them. But we are looking at this.
Ma'am, in the back, you have a question. You haven't asked.
Who's going to maintain the property to the right of this that belongs to the railroad?
I'm sorry.
To the right of the dead end street there.
The city owned property.
But it's railroad property.
So you go down Todd Avenue and we're dead end on the right against the railroad. Okay. Who would maintain
that?
Well, if it's improved and beautified with something that's not natural landscaping, the city, when we do that on railroad property, our parks department has responsibility to do that.
Okay. All right. Michael, question?
Three parts. One is, why is the city doing a parking count that was installed, I think, yesterday on Todd Avenue? Second, why did they do it in the middle of the week? And third, does the city know that this entire neighborhood is a parking lot for football games?
Of course, we know that. I was assuming that we might get a question today, tonight, about how much traffic uses Todd and what would the impacts be throughout the neighborhood. And in asking, do we have counts on Todd during our recent, we're told no, we don't. So ask our traffic consultant if we could get counts so that we could have them. Tuesday, in the traffic engineering business, is the time that you do traffic counts to get the maximum normal usage. So that's why the tubes went out. Unfortunately, there was a glitch and we don't have any numbers for them, so we're going to come back and get those later. But they went out for a Tuesday 24-hour count because Tuesday midweek is when, especially in the university area, excluding football games, midweek is when you get the most accurate traffic counts with the highest volumes on. That's when you get parking garages have the most use, and that's when the traffic counts are highest.
If there's no one else that has a question that hasn't asked yet, I'm going to ask, let David ask a question and pretty much wrap up the question part there. Go one back. Okay, then we'll get the one in the back. Very good.
Jim, if the extra lane were not added on the bridge, would keeping Todd open be more feasible?
I don't know that. That's one we could ask.
Because I'm not persuaded that the extra lane is needed.
Yeah, we can ask that question. Yeah, it's late for the transition, right?
Okay, and
there was also a countermark put in on Robertson.
For the same reason.
In front of my home. And we were not given any notification. Now, our parking is on the street, and I come home to no parking from the 25th through the 26th. And we were not aware of this. Could have been some sort of other red.
I apologize. I did not know that they were going to put out no parking signs. I'm not sure why they did it. They ordinarily don't when they do counts.
Yeah, he actually put it right in my yard.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure why they did that.
Just if we could have needed some sort of notice.
Okay.
At least it's only for our notice.
I hear you. I apologize. I don't know why we needed it.
All right. What we're going to do now is we want to hear some specific concerns, and we were really, really, I mean, concerns are really, you know, very important to the Neighborhood Association as well as to the city. We want to hear those concerns. We don't want to hear the whole editorial. We want to hear what a specific concern is. If you have a specific concern, bring it in the form of one sentence, please. And then if you agree with it, then you can say that you agree with that person, and we'll have numerous people agreeing with the same concern. At the same time, hold on one second.
I need to agree.
At the same time, what we're going to do is allow you, if you feel as if you have an opinion on what something you want the bridge to look like, a design concern, something that may be negotiable, like, yes, you want the wall covered with ivy, yes, you want it brick, yes, you want sidewalks, something like that, sound off with that as well, and we're going to, and if you start going on to the big long paragraph, I'm going to stop you, because we want to have enough time to talk this all and have everybody's opinions. Jim, do you want to add to that first?
One question I would love to hear an answer to, because, you know, we've heard that folks are interested in Todd not closing. Because I'd like some specifics about the negatives that you see with closing Todd Avenue, just so we can help take those to any conversations that we have.
I'd like hear those, too. I don't know what those are.
Well, and if you have an opinion that may be contrary to some other people in the room, I mean, we encourage you to share that. I mean, some people want connectivity, some people don't want connectivity. Some people want Todd closed, some people don't want Todd closed. Some people want the bridge rebuilt, some people don't want the bridge rebuilt. So those opinions is also, I guess, important for the councilors and for the city staff to hear. So as you raise your hand, if you can frame it in a sentence, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go through the room and document these, okay?
I want the bridge rebuilt. I want to be involved in the way it looks. I don't want Todd Avenue closed. I refer you to the map that I put up on the wall that shows 6 cul-de-sacs within a 3-block area. That's reason enough not to close another street.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All the way back.
Additional on top of it, the traffic flow we have onto Robertson, trying to get off of JPA onto Robertson. It's a very narrow bottleneck as it is, and now anybody who lives on Todd with that part of Hill has got to come down Robertson as well, and it's already jammed up.
For sake of clarity, and they're writing as fast as they can, I'm going to repeat what you said and make sure I got it accurately. I think we got yours, Andrea. You were saying that your concern was getting out of Todd, getting on a hill on Robertson, getting on Robertson out of there is a nightmare as it is, and this is going to make it worse.
Exactly.
Okay, very good.
Should have meant Highland to do that, because this traffic cuts both ways.
And what Highland dumps on to Robertson. So we're talking about Todd to Hill to Robertson, and Highland to Robertson is already a congested, difficult place for the residents that live there to get through. I hear that. Okay, sir.
My concern is a fire truck getting up there, being able to turn around, go back. I think it's just wrong to close the street.
So your concern is a fire truck coming down Todd Avenue.
First of all, they got to go a little bit further to get down there, and then they got to get out of there.
And Robson, both all the way around.
Okay, very good. So we're talking about the emergency vehicle access to Todd Avenue being slowed down and delayed. All right, here you go. Terry.
I'm concerned with J-Pitt Extended becoming an exit and entrance corridor from the county to the city. I think that J-Pitt Extended is a residential street, and I'm concerned that making the bridge too wonderful and too big and too wide and too long is really going to impact the volume and speed of traffic on J-Pitt Extended. And I think the city needs to look at ways to discourage the use of that.
So Terry's point, which I've heard being involved with this neighborhood for a very, very long time, is that JPA is now a primary corridor for people to get to and from UVA, and that this bridge may just exacerbate that problem.
Especially with the building that's going on outside the city limits.
Okay, very, very important point, I think. Okay, Mike.
Okay, I have primarily three concerns.
Three concerns.
The first one is circulation. I want everyone to be able to have a maximum choice of where to go. If I want to come out of my yard and turn left to go in one direction, turn right to go in the other, because one way is closer than the other, then the grid optimizes that choice. Second, as far as traffic goes, the PUD that's proposed or is currently being considered for Hill Street will actually double the amount of cars or double the amount of houses that currently reside on the block between Todd and Robertson Avenue. You're looking at double that entire block. All of a sudden now being routed, rather than being able to go down both Todd and Robertson or further along, is that now all being routed along Robertson. So you're loading up street with double the amount of traffic that is already on that block.
Got it.
And third is the safety issue. Currently, when the fire department responds to Todd Avenue, they come down that steep hill. I mean, I know I've had the fire department respond to my own house. Is when we had another one just the other day. So cutting off that access and asking the fire trucks to make that steep turn.
Well, he did what he said.
But right. I mean, it's really difficult. And finally, is one of the most unsafe things you can do in an urban sense.
Talking about the ramp, the handicap ramp?
Well, not the ramp and that blockage. I mean, even to date, I mean, Adrian, who lives across the street from that area,
she can tell you that, up till now, you get there's drug use, there's drinking, there's illicit sex,
you're designing for rape. Okay, when you design something like that, so I mean, it is completely the wrong thing.
I got you. So to repeat Michael's points, number one was you want to have the freedom of a grid to get around in the city, whether that means making a left or right driveway. That was number one. Number two was the PUD and other future planning and development in neighborhoods such as the end of Hill Street will in fact double the amount of cars coming out of that one area. But number three was safety with the emergency vehicles. And number four was also a safety concern of having a dead end. No eyes on that street there, no seeing what's going on.
Right.
That could be an area where there could be a very big increase in crime. Excellent, excellent. 4 points.
My issue is just that there be more input in the design, which is obvious this is an issue, from the people on Todd Avenue, like what Michael was saying. I don't necessarily think that the street does need to stay open, but there are obvious concerns. And I think included in those should be where the turnaround will be. I think where it's slated to be now is like in one of the prettiest areas of that end of the street. And I guess with that goes how many parking spaces are allotted to the duplex at the very end. That's my concern.
So your concern is the whole design of the bridge, input on the turnaround, whether it is six private parking spots to the house or a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. And the turnaround, too. Where the turnaround should be.
Right.
Landscaping.
Yeah.
Landscaping. What's going to?
Trees.
Trees.
And really big trees.
There. Gotcha. Especially so the design aspect of the bridge in general, but particularly about either a cul-de-sac or a dead end. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I just didn't understand what you just said.
The design of the bridge in general was one of your concerns, but also in particular the design of that dead end, how that's going to look and affect the area around
right.
the trees.
So the last thing that Michael said about the design, like safety issues and maybe there could be some stairs or whatever else about that, but also the other street-wise issues.
Okay. Anne?
Can I have two some concerns?
Yes, you can.
Okay. One goes with what she is, who's talking about, is the safety and visibility under a bridge, because I've looked at bridges around town. There's already a camp under there. And it seems like women are more open, so that would probably make me not want to stop the street in the first place. The
sergeant, did you say camp?
Underneath the bridge.
I'm talking about an informal drug camp that goes in obscure, dead end, places that aren't. I mean, And so that's a connectivity pro. Second concern is that it feels to me like people really have not looked at the Todd Avenue issue quite. You said, well, why do you want it open? And I would like it not to be either or, like it could be one way, even if David is right. I mean, let's look at
other alternatives. Okay, so the one is, again, the safety of the dead end.
Right.
And the other is looking at alternatives for going to that street, whether it's one way or
another. Let's look at it.
All right.
So is that an invitation for city officials to come and walk the street?
It's an invitation for city council to reopen.
You know, one thing I'll add on to what you're saying, too, it's called SEPTED. It's crime prevention through environmental design, which is making sure that the police department take a look at it to make sure they can put their input in for what's most safe or unsafe. Who has not given a comment yet? Peter.
I want to reiterate the safety comment there. Because, I mean, just looking at that, it almost looks like there's a little cave that's being built in the corner of the record, which, is even worse than it is now, I think. And I mean, that is sort of a dodgy little area down there now. I just see it getting worse with this design here. And just a very minor detail. I mean, I like the idea of having some stairs also, as well as the ramp.
It's a ramp. Okay, so again, we're hitting that bit right at the safety point big time, and also what stairs with ramp.
There are stairs in the design, they just didn't show up.
They're actually. Can you show me what the stairs are?
Later on.
Okay, sure. Go ahead, comment.
Just a real quick comment. It appears that in 1980, a city engineer started this whole process. Didn't anyone ever consider just fixing the bridge? So it would support the traffic. Why the hell are we building an entire new structure?
All right, that's a question. This is not a question and answer.
That's my comment. Okay, I don't get it.
All right, okay, I want to get to, if there's something out there that has not been said, I'm about ready to wrap it up, the comment period. So if you got a comment, share it with me now. Ma'am.
Is there any way to make the bridge look like it's an entrance to a neighborhood?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There is... It's a question, but it's a good one. Well, the picture shows a little thank you for visiting the Fire Springs neighborhood on one side. I'm assuming that they have a lot of computers.
Do they, how high up are they going to raise the bridge? Are they going to raise it 3 feet? Or are they going to, is it same
elevation? That's a good question, and because it's a question that hasn't been asked yet, I'm going to allow it. How much higher will the bridge actually become than it is right now?
I don't have that. It will be higher than it is now, but I don't know exactly what that number is. It will be higher than it is.
23 feet.
It's 23 feet is what it is, but I don't know what the current
Right.
And that's
so
what
I change
the
bridge.
That's it. Okay, well, that goes into way too long of a question right now. I want to get, ma'am, concern?
Yeah, this is a concern in relationship to the previous issues about why can't it look like an entrance to a neighborhood. I wonder whether we could weigh vehicular safety, which is what we've heard about from Mr. Tolbert in terms of grade for vehicles and, those issues along with pedestrian and community issues as well. Because right now I see a design which is completely based on vehicular demands and not taking into account aesthetic, community, or pedestrian safety.
So if I hear your concerns most accurately, is the design of the bridge for other alternatives such as pedestrian and bicycle modes of transportation.
Right, because in any project there are multiple criteria. Here we see a design where one criteria has overridden all others.
And I do fear, if I can add on to yours, this bike lane and there's an area of the design that I see that has hash marks in it, is that in anticipation for more lanes, mm-hmm. and then you lose your bicycle lane? I mean, that is a concern of mine, so I'll tack that around to yours if that's okay.
And also the pedestrian provisions that have been given are provisions for JK extended and through traffic, not the actual residents of that neighborhood.
Okay, all right. Okay, sir, you have not shared a concern yet?
It might sound like a question, but I guess the missing person here is VDOT, and I don't know how we find them. Do we have to go to Richmond? Do we have to and to get a sufficient number of them that can actually speak to it?
Your concern is the next time we have a meeting, we should have somebody from VDOT that can answer specific VDOT questions.
Right.
Excellent comment.
Fire department.
Okay, fire department as well. All right, is there anything that's not new that has not ever been said?
No. Well, my concern is that these concerns will get lost.
Excellent.
That's a good concern. And then we'll have to follow.
Is there anything that has not been said? Because we need to wrap this up in like the next 60 seconds.
Well, yeah. But we're okay. We're 10.
Right? I know, but we're going to have a little bit of follow up, I'm sure. Okay. All right, go ahead.
I'd like to know if this comes to pass. I worked for Parks and I was a gardener, and we worked around a lot of bridges and right around there. And there's always this miscommunication or non communication between the city and the railroad. And that's why these places, under the little caves, really are little caves where all these things do happen, unfortunately. And I'd like for the city to tell us, how is that going to be taken care of and who's going to look after it? Because, yeah, it falls to Parks a lot of the time, but
sometimes it falls by the wayside, too.
It does. That's what I'd like to know.
All right, so that's a good concern, again, about the end work at the corner of the bridge, however it is going to be done. All right, I got you there.
Safety, cleanliness.
Also, too, that no one can get underneath that bridge. Andrew.
I'd like to reiterate that there are so many concerns about all this stuff going on that we need to get with VDOT, and this neighborhood association has to make a plan with them about what's being laid down here. This is the entrance to our neighborhood.
Gotcha.
It's a huge project. Two other things. Everyone along Todd Avenue, everyone along JPA, where this bridge is coming, is going to be dealing with the millings of the road. There are steps here, up and down through houses. So many issues of quality of life have not been dealt with or resolved. Where do we park our cars? Why are 8 parking spaces going to be reserved only for the duplex? These are things that this community has to deal with.
Okay, gotcha. Talking about the specific concerns in the community to be involved. Okay. Michael says it's a good one. Right.
if it comes to pass that it is actually possible to keep the entitlement, can we possibly have some other kind of examination of what it means? Can we have a design competition? Can we have some other kind of input? Can we have community input to how this thing gets dealt with? And just as a tip, it would be really, really expensive to build that retaining wall. Why build a retaining wall? Just make it a slope.
Excellent point. Especially with design competition. I like that. Okay, now if there's nothing new that hasn't been said yet, I want to get to a point where we can wrap it up because we're going to run out of time real quick.
Have we gotten to the page that's the bicycle rack?
That's for...
Well, we haven't had to put anything in the parking lot.
I have a parking lot item.
Okay, here we go.
September 19th, there's something there about City Council passed a resolution again about the Fontaine Avenue building and expansion project. That project intersects with this huge intersection, time and place. So we need... All of us need to be involved in a giant road changing, an intersection under pressure, a bridge coming down and going back up, and whether or not another street is going to be stolen from us.
Okay. And I'm going to use that right there as the perfect segue to move into closing comments from Jim and from the mayor, if you'd like to. This is true. I know they are looking at it. Maybe you can give us a 30-second blurb about what's happened with Fontaine, if it's a done deal, if that's going forward. After he wraps this up in a minute, Mr. Mayor, would you like to say anything? Okay, we'll let the mayor up here for a minute, and then after that, we're going to move into that other room, and we can still talk in that other room for as long as we want, as long as we're very hushed.
We haven't had a discussion of this, and the mayor can really address where they want to go with it, but I think what we're going to do is take all of your comments, prepare them, make the city council aware of that, and then we'll have some conversation about where we go from here on JPA Bridge. On Fontaine that was mentioned, city council did have a public hearing on September the 19th. I don't know if anybody participated, we had the Fontaine Area B study that was done that looked at redesign of that road. There was a design that was approved by the city council. VDOT was in the property acquisition phase about 2.5 years ago for buying the right way to build it. But essentially, it was a three-lane section all the way out to the city limits that had bike lanes and sidewalks on both sides. We asked that that be put on hold. We did the study and looked at it to come up with the recommendation that's there is what is called, we call a context-sensitive design that really adjusts beginning at the intersection all the way out. The road section is different based on what's happening there. But the bottom line is it is a two-lane section with turn lanes at the appropriate intersections with pedestrian, with bike lanes, with sidewalks, and landscaping all the way down. So it's a completely different design. City Council approved that on the 19th, and we sent it to VDOT and said, we would like to have you adjust your plans for this based on this design. It's a concept that hadn't been engineered yet, so the next step in that will be, if they agree to that, they will start a design process again that will involve public hearings as they get into specifics. So it was an attempt to try to look at keeping Fontaine as a neighborhood street, not as a throughway coming in off the interstate. So that's what that concept is that Renaissance Planning Group did. So that is moving forward, and if VDOT accepts that, we'll have some opportunity for input again with them on that project. So and that, it may be one that we drive, not them, given our new arrangement. So I really don't know.
So my comment is very briefly about the not losing the concerns, since we're not always notified of the meetings that we absolutely need to be there for. So how do we make sure that we are totally informed about those kinds of things? That's a big question for our neighborhood, because we all have to show up at these places, and we have to show up at city council also. So how do we do that?
I wish I could tell you exactly how we do that. I think that this mayor and this council are very much more in tune than we've been in the past with making sure that we have communication. You know, we've got the website, we're sending out notices, we're doing a lot more than we used to. We will make every attempt through Ashley to let the neighborhood know and communicate with your neighborhood leadership. She talks to John regularly, so we'll do. I'm not sure exactly what we'll do, but we're continuing to do things to improve the notification.
Just so you know, the chain of events thus far is we do that, and then Gene puts it out on an email. So if you want your email, your name to be in the email group where the monthly notices of these meetings come out, you need to make sure she has your current email address.
And you can send your email to Ashley at any time. We keep a database and send email notices out of everything we do, so she can get that from you if you notify her.
I'm sorry to make a brief comment, and then I'm going to go. I hope everyone looks in the paper, looks on the website, and sees what the upcoming agenda for city council meetings are. You can contact Jim's office and get the agenda emailed to you for upcoming planning commission meetings as one way of making sure something doesn't fall through the cracks. I certainly have paid attention to all the comments. I think there were a lot of very thoughtful and important comments expressed. One of my main concerns, now joined the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, has to do with the flexibility of VDOT. And that's and kind of like, you know, exactly how can we put input in? And I really hope we can find a way to put good input in. Now, what I'm very reluctant or concerned about would be, for example, a process required a start over. Because I think that we have a situation where we have fire trucks not crossing a major bridge and having to find other routes to go in their emergencies, and I think we need to move forward on that. But I certainly want to work to see if we can address that. And I'd like to ask Blake if he has any comments, because he's certainly been through bridge openings and closings and redesigned by VDOT.
This particular bridge since 1910. I'd be glad when something's done. I hope we
actually get towards building something, because this bridge is needed to be replaced in that entire period. You know, somebody mentioned Garrett Street. That's probably a pretty good example, if any of you have not been there, is to look at. That was very, very controversial when it happened. I think the product we got out of it was decent. There are a couple of people that Standard Produce, being one of them, speaking to your economic question the other day, or earlier in the evening. So they're not easy things to do. And one thing I can assure you of, although it was said, you know, the bridge is not going to be built until 2008. So we have about 2-3 years. It would be normal for council and staff to go through a process, particularly on design. The bridge has been preliminary design. There has been, as I call it, I'm a general contractor, I call it the rag-picking side of it. This is just the beginning on how it works for both the neighborhood as well as pedestrian traffic. So I'm actually optimistic that we're going to find the right solution. I, like David, for more reasons, I want to see this bridge built, because it's really hurting us as a city. It doesn't speak to the old Lynchburg Motor Speedway, which Ms. Chase has been reminding me on almost a daily basis about. Those types of issues are as important as building this bridge, and we have to solve them. We can only do it together. Thank you.
One thing I'd like to add on, Ms. Carabotti mentioned the Garrett Street Bridge. That would be something interesting to go look at, because it would give you an idea. If you go down Garrett Street to its dead end at Ridge Street, you'll see where the bridge goes up and where the road ends. That road used to connect at one time as well. And that bridge is higher, but it is considerably higher than this. So when you go there and you see this big wall, you're going to get freaked out. This bridge, this wall would not be as big as that wall. So it's just not the same height.
Here's Ashley Cooper's
email. Ashley Cooper's email is right here. It's cooper@charlottesville.org. What I'd like everybody to do is thank, first of all, yourselves for coming out here and spending an hour and a half. Also, thank very much our city councils and our mayor for coming out here and showing up. Thank you very much. And also thank city staff for coming out here.
You've been listening to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. If you need to get in touch with us, our number is 434-295-6609. Please leave a comment on the blog at seavillepodcast.com. I'm Sean Tubbs, and thanks for listening.